Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Mill Spouse Brief. Happy Wednesday. I apologize that this episode is airing on Wednesday and not the typical Monday or Friday. We've had a lot of things kind of happen in the last week and a half, and it's just been really busy, and I had some technical difficulties from the last podcast and have been trying a couple new things, and honestly, just life, if I'm being honest, kind of has just been really busy, but really good at the same time. And my grandparents came last weekend, and that was wonderful. It was honestly the best to just spend time with them and to explore Norfolk. And then once they left, we had a really busy week of just stuff going on at work, at home. I had the opportunity of teaching early morning seminary at my church last Wednesday, and that was really fun. I did early morning seminary through my church, so basically it's Bible study every morning the 4 years you're in high school, and so you do it from 5:50 to 6:40 every morning. You're kind of around that time. It varies, you know, place to place, but I did it for all 4 years, and when you're in the like middle of it and you're actually doing it, it was so rough. I mean, my poor parents, I complained so much, but it was cool to be back and do it. I don't really know any of the kids in my current church just because we just moved in. And so it was cool to kind of like see them and talk to them and overall like just do it. So that was a fun opportunity that I got to do. And then we just had a relaxing weekend. We had a lot of friends over and that was really awesome. I feel like I talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago, you know, like struggling to find a community and wondering that maybe it just like wasn't the time of my life to have like a community kind of like, but all of a sudden I feel like there's like that saying like when you're not looking, it comes. And I feel like that's kind of what happened. Like I wasn't looking because I kind of accepted like this was the time for me to focus on me and Kate and like our relationship, and then all of a sudden like friends just like pop out of nowhere and getting to like have fun times with them, and we just like laughed all night, and it was just honestly like what I needed. Like Friday was truly the best, and I got to record the podcast with Luke before the rest of the people came over, and so he's on the podcast today. Luke and I work together at NPACE. He's a PAO and he talks all about his journey and what he has gone through. And he was my sponsor, which was really awesome. He helped me check in and show me the ropes of NPACE. And we got to go watch fighter jets take off one day at work. And I feel like we're pretty similar personality-wise in the sense of like work. And so we've been able to like do a lot of stuff in the office, and he's honestly just like 10 out of 10, super great. And so I'm really excited that he is on the podcast today and that he took the time to come on. I have some really excited stuff coming up. Be headed to Dinfos, and so I'll have some new guests come on, you know, that will be at Dinfos with me. And the cool thing about Dinfos is it is a joint school. So there will be people from all different branches, and so I'm really excited to have different people from the Army and the Air Force and the Marine Corps on the podcast, and I feel like it will be a really cool experience, and so I'm definitely looking forward to that and just to be in that area and all the things that come with kind of like going to a schoolhouse. And overall, I'm just very excited for the next 2 months. I have my annual birthday podcast posting, fingers crossed, on Monday. So it's going to be 23 things that I've learned in the last 23 years to commemorate me turning 23. So definitely tune in for that one. But today we have Luke on the podcast, and he's honestly the best. I was so grateful that he kind of talked all about his journey. He has such a positive outlook on everything, and I really hope you learn something and take something away from this podcast. And without further ado, here is Luke Beanstalk. All right, so I'm here with Luke. How about you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Luke Beanstalk. Work at NPACE East with Mackenzie, and I'm happy to be on the podcast.
So where were you born and raised?
So I'm from Greenwich, Connecticut, which is a town a little under an hour outside of New York City. Okay. You can see the skyline from my town.
That's cool.
Yeah, so grew up there. And
what was it like growing up there? So like I grew up in Ohio, so like the Midwest. What's it like growing up on like, what are they call it, like the North?
New England.
New England, yeah.
So I'm technically the most southwestern town in New England.
Okay.
And we're in the New York City metro area, so a lot of people's parents work in New York City.
They just like commute.
Yeah, so my father did that. My mom worked in the city back in the day.
That's
so
cool. So like commute by train, right?
Yeah, you take the train in, definitely.
I feel like that's such a cool lifestyle. I feel like you see it on social media a lot recently, where it's like, I don't know, living in New York City or the surrounding areas is like very glamorized and like, I don't know, it just seems like such a cool, like taking the subway every day, I don't know.
It's cool because you get to, you know, I had a backyard and played in the woods and everything, but then you could go into the city and you're in the heart of it all in 45 minutes. So I loved growing up there and growing up on the water and enjoying all of that.
Talk about what you did in high school as your job in the water.
So yeah, I mean, I guess we'll touch on it later as to like why I joined the Navy, but I grew up on the water. I think what you're referring to is for a summer job in high school and college, I would scuba dive underneath the boats and scrape the barnacles and algae off. And I loved that job. It was, you know, good pay for a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And I got to get my own dive equipment and everything. So that was fun.
That is neat. Okay. So let's talk about where you went to college. What made you choose that college? Where'd you go? All that kind of stuff.
So I went to Dartmouth College, which is a small liberal arts school up in New England in New Hampshire on the border of Maine. I really want to go there because besides having good academics, they had a really good rugby team. And for me, getting a combination of both was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The team there, while a club sport, has two full-time coaches. They have their own field, clubhouse.
And did you play rugby in high school?
Yeah, so I started playing since freshman year of high school as a football and rugby player.
Nice. And what made you get into rugby? Because like in the West Coast, or not West Coast, Midwest, excuse me, like we didn't have a rugby team at my high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got cut from the freshman baseball team, and it was a big public high school of almost 3,000 people. So I had a lot of opportunities with different sports, and my friends who played rugby were like, hey, you play football, you should come out and try rugby. Did it, fell in love with it, and the rest is history. So I love New England, I love skiing, I love, you know, the woods and everything out there. So being in a small college where the ratio of teachers or professors to students is really small was important to me. And they had a good government department. I was a double major in government and Middle Eastern studies.
Which is really cool. I feel like you don't necessarily hear that as a degree that much.
Yeah, so I didn't know, you know, going into college that I wanted to do the whole Middle Eastern studies part, but I took Arabic. And towards, I think, my senior fall, I kind of looked at all the courses I'd taken. I'm like, wow, I'm actually pretty close to majoring. And so I just took a few more and majored, and then I minored in public policy. And
that's cool.
That was
what I studied. So do you still speak like Arabic fluently?
Oh, I'm not fluent by any means. I definitely practice with my girlfriend. We met because of Arabic in college. And I am trying to take the DLPT, which is the Navy's language test.
Okay.
And if you score a certain level for critical languages, you can actually get paid up to $500 a month, which is a thing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, not a lot of people know about that, about not just the Navy, but just the military in general.
Didn't you just take your Spanish test?
So I just took the Spanish test. It's out of three, and they test you from 0 to 3, and they test you on listening and reading. And so I maxed out the listening at 3, and I got 2+ for reading, which is just 1 below. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
And I took that, not because I won't get paid for it, but since I'm deploying to Latin America soon, it's good to sort of show the ship, you know, here's what I can speak at.
And I feel like Spanish is like probably the number one language that is like good to have besides English in America.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like, I feel like it is a huge skill and it will help you so much.
Definitely. I mean, I've been lucky enough to study abroad. I've used it when I worked at the Department of Homeland Security.
Wow.
So being able to use it in a professional setting is great. And that's a big reason why, you know, we'll probably talk about it later, but why I joined the Navy is, you know, I love speaking languages.
Yeah. So real quick, before we hop into there, you played rugby for Dartmouth. You did there for 4 years. What was like your favorite memory or like best thing? You're like, this is why everyone should go to Dartmouth.
Oh yeah. So favorite memory at Dartmouth. So I'd probably say there are two. One is rugby related, because I'm going to do a cop out. And that would be either winning our fourth back-to-back-to-back-to-back Ivy League championship or winning the Las Vegas Invitational, which is this big tournament. They were it was during one of the professional tournaments. So we were during one of the breaks in the matches and we won. And so there were a few thousand people in the stands and that was cool. But from a more sort of academic side, I got a chance to travel to Palestine and Israel on this fellowship I was a part of where we met different people in national security and defense studies. And in over winter break, we got to go there, meet with people in both the Israeli government and the Palestinian government, in the intelligence sectors, in their military, talking about anti-terrorism issues.
Yeah.
And
that's a really cool opportunity.
Oh, it was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, having that all taken care of by Dartmouth and, having former ambassador Benjamin, who ran the group, take us there was incredible. So, but then there's small things like, skiing 4 days a week and hiking and stuff, which I loved.
And then you met Cammy there?
Yes. My girlfriend, Camilla, I call her Cammy, met her there senior year. And that's Dartmouth to thank for that.
Love that. Okay, so let's talk about why you decided to join the Navy.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I don't come from a military background.
Same.
No one in my immediate family, my hometown, my college really serves. I mean, people now and there.
Yeah.
I found out after I joined the military that my great-grandfather was in the Navy during World War II.
Wow, that's
but
cool.
I didn't even know that before going in because that wasn't really a big thing or a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt like a black sheep. Most of my friends are in consulting or finance.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt some sort of urge to serve.
Yeah, I love that.
And so throughout college, I interned for my congressman at the Department of Homeland Security just to make sure that there weren't other opportunities in government that I could serve.
That you really wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had decided, going into senior year, that the military was something I really wanted to do. And like I said before, growing up on the water, the Navy attracted me because that was what I was really comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so I think the opportunities to travel in the Navy attracted me. Like I said, speaking Spanish and Arabic, that was a really big draw. And then being part of something bigger than myself and serving really was what made me want to decide to serve.
I love that. Okay, so you decided to you went the OCS route like I did.
Yes.
So real quick, I've done a lot of episodes on OCS, but just kind of what would you say you enjoyed the most? What was best part, worst part, lesson learned?
Yeah, I think what's great about anything like OCS, just the sort of militarization periods, is that you sort of come together with the people around you really closely. And the variety of people that I met at OCS was pretty incredible. One of my friends, who's actually now a PAO as well, was an archaeologist.
Who's that?
Lindsay Ballou.
Okay.
So she just moved out to Norfolk. You had people who were working at Microsoft, people who were, working at McDonald's. I mean, just every sort of background coming together from all parts of the country. And I love that.
Yeah. Real quick, who was your class team?
So we were 10 TAC 2-1.
Okay.
We had Lieutenant Capoletti and Jackson, who were great. And still friends with a lot of the people in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And they're some of my closest friends in the Navy.
That's awesome. Did you have a gunnery sergeant or a chief?
Gunny Baudet.
Oh, she my gosh. Great. That's amazing. Yeah. I've never been more scared of a human in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the personable side of her. But,
yeah, definitely.
She would walk up to us every day in the chow and be like, "Your hair is trash." And I'm I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
But.
No, she's great.
She gave it to one of our friends. His last name is Watkins. He's hilarious. And he's eating an apple on the table. And I guess his elbows are on the table. And he's just kind of chilling in this apple. And she walks up and she's like, "How old are you?" And he doesn't even know how to say his age. He's like,
mid-bite or something. Yeah.
He's like, 26. And she's like, "And you're eating an apple?" And she's so funny. I feel like she's a really good, she cares. She is so dedicated.
Really does, yeah.
But when she is screaming at you, I have never wanted to poop my pants more in my life.
Oh, yeah. No, she's tough. She's
definitely tough. Who's your chief?
Sosa.
Okay, he left like right after I got there. I want to say like the week or two after.
Yeah. He was also phenomenal. He really cared a lot. That really came through with him.
That's cool. Okay. So worst part of OCS?
I think it wasn't the quality of the food. I'm sure you've had people talk about how good or bad it is. At the end of the day, like I was just trying to eat something. It was the amount or the lack thereof. For me, I lost a bit of weight and I had, you know, I tried to eat everything I could. I was like hiding PB&J sandwiches in my jacket, you know, leaving the chow hall. Like I tried to eat as much as I possibly could and I still lost weight. So for me, and also being in quarantine, the first 2 weeks, they really didn't give us much food then.
The box chows?
Yeah, those.
I lost 7 pounds the first week of OCS because we were eating only box chow. And I was like, I don't even know how people are surviving on this many calories. And then I think about like people that still had to like go to Buds and all that kind of stuff. Like you guys were losing so much weight. Mm-hmm. Like that's not good.
Yeah. So I would say that was probably the toughest part for me for OCS.
And then what would you say was like your biggest lesson learned or like something you really took away from OCS?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would probably say, I mean, like having no background in the military and going through the whole sort of indoctrination process, it's not that you learn because it more that it changes you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are more, you know, obedient and stuff like that, all those stereotypical things.
Yeah.
So I think it's less about what I learned and more who I became and how I changed through the process, which I got the most out of it, which I think, you know, further on in life, you know, one day when I'm not in the military, I think those are skills that really help you, you know, being organized on top of things.
Yeah.
Showing up on time, that really are really valuable lessons.
Something that I really took away, I felt like at OCS was, I feel like you learn a lot of like ownership, like, you know, with your uniform, with your room. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's one of those things that like in the moment you're really annoyed. You're like, why are you so upset about like the way my shoelaces are laced? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like it is able to like ripple effect into your life. And then you're able to like have ownership, you know, like, have you heard the saying? I think it's like, look good, feel good, do good, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where it's, I felt like I learned a lot of like ownership about me and my spaces and my people, and like I liked how that's like rippled, you know, through my life because of OCS.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, they definitely emphasize the fact that how you look is a reflection of how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
Not that you should ever read a book by its cover, but if you're on top of the small things, you'll be on top of the big things.
Yeah, and I mean, you even think about it like from a perspective now, like now that we're PAOs, like people that go, like when our MCs go out and take photos, if someone's not having their uniform proper, their haircut's not to regulations, that picture's not going to get posted on Big Navy. That's not going to, you know, like there's a certain standard, and if it's not met, even if you're not judging a book by its cover, it's not being met, and there's consequences or assumptions made by that.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
Okay, so talk about, you graduate OCS, and what's your kind of journey from then?
Yeah, so after that, I went out to Coronado, California, where I went to Buds. Met some amazing people there. Didn't make it through the pipeline. It's, you know, definitely the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Just thinking about it would be the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, so I have a lot of friends who made through, and really excited for them.
Is that tough?
No, I'm really happy for them. I mean, I don't have any regrets. I'm not, you know, mad at the system or anything like that. It worked the way it worked. I didn't get cheated or anything like that. You know, I'm happy with where I am now. So, I'm really
happy. That's like impressive. I feel like that's like very mature and like awesome. You know, that you're able to be like, hey, this isn't the path that I was going to go, and that's okay because I went on a different path and like it's the right path for me. And I feel like sometimes you can really get caught up in like the bitterness of like it not going the way you want. And the fact that you're have such like a good outlook on it, I think is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because it's been sort of a theme in my life. You know, I got cut from, you know, maybe it seemed like a small thing looking back on it, but you know, in the time, being cut from the freshman baseball team was the worst thing ever, you know. But then I ended up playing rugby as a result from it, so you never know what's gonna come out of it. And I've had some pretty remarkable opportunities.
And because of baseball, you are now on the U.S. Navy rugby team, which is amazing.
Yeah that was a great experience. That's something I've loved having the opportunity to do. So Did that, and then I went into the POCR, probationary officer. Ooh, I should know the full name of it. Word review, maybe. Regardless, it's called POCR.
Isn't it like committee review?
Regardless of what it means, what happens if you don't make it through your pipeline, the Navy. So you have a lot of pilots, people don't make it through BUDS, EOD, things like that.
Yeah.
And you list your top five choices, and pretty much what they tell you is for your top three, those are things they'll consider you for. The bottom two, the communities that you list won't really consider you because you're not in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
So you list your five, you're really focusing on those three that you really want to do, okay. One of which has to be an unrestricted line position,
okay.
Meaning it has to be for people who don't know, like being a surface warfare officer,
yeah.
A pilot, something that is more of an operator role. And then,
what was your unrestricted one?
So my unrestricted was SWO.
Okay.
I put that, I think it was four. I wasn't as interested in being a SWO. I have a lot of respect to it for those people who do, but just wasn't for me. And you pretty much write a letter to the board saying whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have it being targeted, hey, this is the only thing I really want to do, or more of a general message. And you can craft it any way you want. You then have letters of recommendation. So I got a few for the different communities I was in. It doesn't have to be just for one. So
mm-hmm.
you can have it for a few. And then for...
And while this, the POCR board is happening,
mm-hmm.
where are you located? Are you still in Coronado? Or are you in San Diego? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was in San Diego.
Okay.
So wherever you are, doesn't really make a difference. You can find a TAD.
Okay.
I was able to do some TADs in the area, learning more about the different communities I was in. And then you take probably, I think by the time I started to when I found out about PAO, it was about 5 months.
Oh,
it's
wow.
it's not that quick because okay. the board meets, I think, four times a year. It's quarterly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
And what were you doing while you're waiting for the board? Were you
still
on a TAD assignment?
Yeah, it's not a TAD. Just doing stuff in different communities, getting experience.
That's cool.
And then I found out, so the last part, sorry, about POCR is for PAO. So some communities may ask you to fill out additional things. So
yeah.
For public affairs, they had a hypothetical situation and you had to respond, you know, this is what I do in this spot. And they had...
Did you do a portfolio?
It was an optional portfolio because okay. I think they realized not everyone may have that background, but I did. So in college for the Dartmouth Rugby Club, I ran social media as
That's
the...
cool.
Yeah, as the editor-in-chief of a journal of international affairs.
Wow.
And then after Dartmouth and before the Navy, I helped run social media for a new professional rugby team.
Yeah.
So I had some like...
So then you're surprised you got picked up for PAO?
No, so I... No, definitely. And that's why I listed it, you know, high up because I had a lot of relevant experience. And so I had a few graphics I made, some videos I'd made, some sort of social media planning I'd done for a rugby club I was playing for in San Diego. And so
wow.
you put that in your portfolio, send it to the board, they get back to you. And
they
then,
said, Beanstalk is ours.
So yeah, I found out about that. And I was out of there in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So then I stopped. So there are different ways you can do it. I first went to Dinfos
mm-hmm.
for training and then out to NPACE East.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay. What was it like going to Dinfos? Because, you know, I'm going in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm excited for you. I think you're going to have a really good time.
I'm really excited. I feel like it'll be a really cool opportunity to, like, live in that area for 2 months and
yep.
have the resources and be so close to D.C. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think, first off, I love the D.C. area. So being near the city, being near Annapolis,
yeah.
it's a cool area to be. And then the training itself is really good.
Mm-hmm.
What I really appreciated about it and loved about it was the joint nature of it. Not only are you having teachers, both military and civilian, from all branches, you have classmates from all over who are both military, civilian, and we even had one foreign officer
wow,
from
that's
Korea.
Cool.
She was great. And I was friends with a lot of, you know, Army and Air Force and Marine and Coasties and civilians. So you learn a lot, but you also, I wouldn't call it networking because...
Oh, it's for sure networking.
Yeah, because you're just meeting people like for fun. It's not like you're going into like a conference and exchanging cards. You're making friends who...
Organically.
You know, yeah, I still keep in contact with, and one of whom is moving to the area. So see her, and another one of our friends is going to come visit us. So it's great. They're definitely, I'd say Dymphos goes in waves. Mm-hmm. Starts off easy, and they'll tell you this when you're there. It starts easy, introduction, they ramp it up, and then it goes down, and then there's another peak. And so, you know, for me, I'm not very good at planning out ahead of time. I'm a little bit motivated by deadlines rather than being an organizer.
Yeah, we had like a whole conversation about this.
Yeah, we did, yeah. So I would say with Dymphos, get ahead of the big projects.
Okay.
You know, the small things you don't need to work on, you know, a week out. You can do that the night before, but
like your comp plan at all.
The comp plan, definitely you want to don't do what I did, but the comp plan is great because you actually work on a real world issue that you could bring back to your command and implement. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dymphos is done and you get orders to Norfolk.
Yep.
How are you feeling about getting orders to Enpace?
I was really excited. So I had the option after talking with the detailer to go to West or East.
Okay.
So I could have gone and, or I could have stayed in San Diego and I had a lot of friends there. I really enjoyed my time there, but I'm an East Coast guy.
Same.
I have family there. My girlfriend's probably going to be there, I'm guessing. And it's not too far from DC as well. So it just made a lot of sense for me to come out here. And so I picked to come out here. Moved down from Dymphos, living with a buddy from OCS, actually, who's a roommate of mine, who's also from Connecticut. And
isn't it crazy, like, how that, like, ends up happening?
Oh, yeah. I hit him up, like, last minute. I'm like, hey, man, like, not sure if you know anyone who needs a roommate. And he's like, oh, actually, I need one. So, like, let's do it.
Perfect.
Yeah, so Enpace is interesting because you get a lot of variety of different sort of missions and TADs and projects. But also there can be some slow lulls in between.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important just to make the most of those sort of slower periods to read up on things, get training done. That way you're as productive as you can be. And when you are doing different sort of missions, you're on top of everything else that everything else is put away and you're ready to hit the ground running.
No, I love that. And I feel like that's kind of like what I've tried to tell myself is like with this downtime, you know, like, get settled, get stuff organized, figure out what you're going to do. And then, you know, like you talked about, like, learning our equipment, taking free courses, you know, things like that. And I feel like it's been beneficial to, like, have this downtime instead of, like, hitting the ground running as, like, a carrier PAO.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like, for me, I have a bit more of a videography and graphic design background, which, you know, as you know, as a PAO, you don't do too much of. But I like knowing what the MCs are doing, so you know, I can speak the language and everything. Yeah. So I've been trying to get into photography recently, and that's been really fun. I've been really enjoying that. So that was like one of the things I did in sort of more of the lull.
Yeah, and like it's cool for people listening is we get this kit. It's like $36,000 worth of equipment.
It's insane.
Like cameras and mics and like GoPros type thing, and we have tripods. I mean, like it is wild the amount of stuff that we get.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, we don't necessarily have to, like, use it on a daily basis like the MCs do, but to know it and to at least be somewhat proficient in it so you're able to understand what they're doing is, you know, important. So it's really cool. Luke and I got to go one day with the MCs to Oceana, which is the fighter jet base, and watch fighter jets take off all day while we conduct an interview, and it was so cool.
Yeah. The guy was up for, or I think he was one of the top four Sailors of the Year for the Navy.
Yeah, he was chief
so
select.
He was, you know, a very impressive guy. It was great talking to him, and then the backdrop for the interview was incredible.
Oh yeah, it was just a jet just sitting there on the tarmac, and it was so cool because then like as we're doing the interview, all these jets are doing, I think they're called hot takes, right, where they like keep the jet running and then they just switch out pilots.
Oh so yeah, like hot seats or something.
Something hot. And so it was so neat. And then to, you know, have him walk us around the base as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was never something I've gotten to expect or, you know, experience. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with Top Gun coming out, it was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah. I think as a PAO, you already get a lot of variety seeing different parts of the Navy and military just because of the nature of the job. But at NPACE, it's even more so because you're not assigned to one ship or one thing. You're really seeing a bunch of everything. And I think that was a great example of a lot of the great parts of NPACE.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you're at NPACE and you get your assignment, which is the deployment for the USS Comfort.
Yep.
Which is one of the two, or one of the two hospital ships for the Navy.
Yep.
So talk about that, you know, like what was your thought process? Mm-hmm. How have you been preparing for it? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so when I found out that that was a possibility of something I could deploy on, I was really excited. As I said before, I speak Spanish, and one of the things I really wanted to do in the Navy was travel and speak with the people we're helping.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons I didn't sort of want to go towards the State Department or something like that was you're sort of up in an embassy with people who are, you know, more political types, and they're not really the people that are feeling the effects of American military diplomacy on the ground. And so I was really pumped to find out I was picked for it, along with one of the MCs.
Who's really great.
Yeah, here, Mullen, and we are leaving mid to late October. We'll be back sometime in December, and we'll be going to Guatemala, Honduras, Colombia, Dominican Republic, and Haiti.
Wow.
So all of that in 2 months, which will be a whirlwind.
Yeah, really pumped for it. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's just amazing to even get that opportunity to go to those places.
Yeah, and all the team of not just sailors, but Marines and Army soldiers. So it's a sort of a joint mission as well.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like veterinarian work is only done by the Army and military.
Interesting.
So a lot of the medical things we're doing, it has to be a joint mission.
Yeah, and like if you have Marines only use Navy doctors, so.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
So I'm really excited for that. And we're going to meet, you know, people from, I'm working a lot right now with people from the different embassies from the U.S. So it's not just joint, it's, you know, interagency. And then meet working with other militaries, other health ministries. And then these big events, we'll be meeting people from foreign militaries and stuff. So I'm really excited for all that interaction that I'm going to have.
Can you just imagine what your resume is going to look like after this? And like, I know you're like very against LinkedIn right now, but like the amount of LinkedIn.
It's not against it. It's just, it's nice being in the military and not having to worry about that stuff. Yeah.
I'm just saying, can you imagine the amount of LinkedIn posts you could make with all of the
stops? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So.
No, that's super cool. Okay. So real quick to end, what, you know, obviously we have no idea what the future looks like because the military turns whatever we plan upside down.
Yeah.
But if you could say like, hey, this is what I'm hoping for. These are my goals. I've talked about it before, but you know, for anybody listening, the cool thing about PAO is we get a roster every month. And it lists out every PAO in the community. I think right now we have 237. And it states where they're at, who they work for, how long they've been there, and when their orders will be up. Mm-hmm. So you're able to, and I think you do it at DINFOS, correct? You make a career ribbon stating, like, you know. And so it's really cool because you're able to be like, okay, well, this person will be up when my orders are supposed to be up. So these are kind of my options, or these are what I want to go to. I want to do an independent duty. I want to go to a joint tour. I want to go to a headquarters, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have your say, what would the next couple of years look like?
Yeah, so I would love to get up to D.C. I'd love to, you know, work on staff for an admiral up there. That would be... I don't know how feasible that is, but that would be really great.
I think there's a lot of chinfo billets up when yours is up.
Yeah, that would be great too. If not, I would love to get over to Fifth Fleet. I think being in the Middle East would be really cool. You know, trying to use Arabic.
Yeah.
If not, you know, going to Southcom, something like that related to the Comfort mission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm sort of thinking in terms of, you know, my thoughts on that, but. You know, like you said, who knows what happens.
Yeah.
I've been very pleasantly surprised by a lot of things that I had no idea even existed. So we'll see.
For sure. Okay. And then to close, what would you say for 2023? Give us your goal for personal and then your goal for work. You know, like, hey, this is what I'm going to be working for towards in 2023. When I get back from the comfort, it's going to be a new year. These are kind of my goals for personal Luke and Ensign Beanstalk.
Yeah. So I guess personal, I guess it could also be kind of technically work. But
you have to do them separate.
No, I know, but it overlaps because I want to get my Arabic better. So I want to do that. If that's like ultimately a personal reason, I mean, I can test out for the DLPT. So, but that I consider more of a personal thing for work.
Would you use like a Babbel or like, is there like a product or a service that you really like when it comes to learning languages?
I look through my college notes a lot. I have a textbook from that I use, and there are a lot of things online for free that really work well.
Did you know the chief at OCS that did Arabic for the teams?
Yeah, he talked to me a bunch. He was great. Yeah, he was the one who told me about the whole DLPT program. Cool. So that would be personal, I'd say, working on my Arabic. And then if you want something that's purely personal, I'd say just, you know, getting better at rugby. That always is, you know, something working on.
Okay, real quick, tell us what it's like to be part of the U.S. Navy rugby team for anybody listening that wants to talk about your experience in college.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot to mention that. So I got to represent the U.S. Navy at the Armed Forces Rugby Championship in Glendale, Colorado. We got to play against all the branches, and then we played Army in the championship. Unfortunately, we lost, but we did really well, met some really amazing people there. And then we played the teams in the larger tournament. So, for example, the German national team was there. There were, you know, select sides from all around the world with players who had played on the U.S. national team, the British national team. So it was really high-level rugby. And the coach, Koma, she's phenomenal. And you go out for 2 weeks, selection of the first week, and then the last week, the final team practices leading up to the tournament. So
that's so neat. And you, if I remember correctly, you said that like they were technically like TAD orders.
Oh, yeah. I was being paid and everything. Like it was not like, you know, me on vacation, like the Navy wrote me orders for that. So amazing opportunity to, you know, train all day for, you know, 2 weeks. So amazing opportunity.
Now that you're part of the team, what does that look like? Do you still practice with them? Is it not rugby season? So you're playing for a Norfolk team.
Yeah, I play for the Norfolk Blues, but they're just the Navy team just assembles for the championship. So okay, everyone goes like back. Everyone goes back to their clubs for, you know, the rest of the year, and then you put in an application every year. Normally that comes out in the spring. There's a Facebook page for anyone who's interested. You join that and they put out information on how to apply. And it's a great opportunity. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Okay. And then you play for the Norfolk
Blues.
Blues. Okay.
Yep. They're a good team. They're a D1 men's side. A lot of military folk on it. So, yeah. That I guess those are, you know, those are my personal things: rugby and Arabic. And then on a more professional side, as a PAO. I think a lot of it will depend how I do on my deployment, because the thing is, I don't know what I don't know, not to sort of cop out. But if I were to guess the things I need to work on, I would say I can always be a better writer. Especially, I wrote a lot of academic papers in college, so working more on, you know, speeches and things like that, I could get better at. So, I'll update you with my answer after I deploy.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know that the listeners will as well. And I feel like you've had such a cool, you know, journey and to get here. And I can't wait to see kind of how it continues.
Yeah. Same here. Thanks so much for having me on.